Church operations and church administrations in your church. My name is Crosby E. Harris, Jr., and my title here at Living Word is Executive Assistant to Pastor Bill Winston. That means I do a lot of work. I'm also the director over the Helps Ministry, Product Fulfillment, and the Ministry Covering. Those are the pastors who come to the church doing our conferences. I oversee that whole operation. My job description is to protect the anointing and to deliver babies. So I protect the anointing of the church and protect the anointing of the pastor. Make sure that the pastor can rest, stay in the word, hear from God, be with his family. And when that is happening for the pastor, his anointing or her anointing is being protected. So I protect the anointing of the church and I protect the anointing of the pastor. And another thing that I do from a job description standpoint is deliver babies. I'm part of the baby process. And so when pastors have a baby, it's called the vision of the church. And when that vision of the church starts to manifest, it comes out of the pastor. And so it's a baby that's inside the pastor that's developing over time. But then when it comes out, when it has to be given to someone, I'm part of that process. So I have the privilege by God to go into the delivery room with my pastor and say push. That's all you do in the delivery room is say push. So when the baby comes out, which is what I call a project of the church, I'm one of the ones that get the baby, and my job is to nurture and develop that baby and pass it on so it can grow according to the plan and the purposes that God has given our pastor. So I protect the anointing. I also deliver babies. I've been part of the ministry since 1987, 88, when Pastor Winston first started in ministry, came to Chicago, and he was preaching out of a basement of a house, and I met him back then. I met him in 1987, 88. Had no idea that I would, first of all, have gotten saved and be working full-time for the church. So I started working full-time for the church in 1992, and I was the second employee. It was the church secretary, then I was hired as the church administrator, which means I did everything in the church. So I have served as a volunteer and as an employee for many, many years. And I started off as the head usher because I was the only usher. I was a janitor. I was a housekeeper. I served in baptism, water and Holy Spirit baptism. I was security. I was transportation. I served in audio and TV. I counted the money. I was the church accountant. So I did a lot in the church. And I have seen the membership grow from 15 members to over 15,000. And from 5 volunteers to over 1,000 volunteers. So I think that's why they wanted me to teach this class about Helps Ministry and church administration operations, because of my experience and not because of my great personality. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you now for this class on volunteering in a church and church administration and church operations. I thank you for spiritual understanding and godly wisdom that will be imparted into the pastors and to the leaders of their churches. Now, I thank you to my gift that's making room for me and bringing me before great men and women. And once again, I count it an honor and a privilege to stand before your great men and women. I thank you for the Holy Spirit who is speaking to me and through me, telling me what to say, when to say it, and how to say it. Thank you to every ear is open to hear and every eye is open to see and every heart is open to receive spiritual understanding and godly wisdom on Helps Ministry and church administration operations. Now, just bind the devil, declare that no weapon formed against this boot camp shall prosper. And I loose the angels to go forth and make all the crooked paths straight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, it reads, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand, say understand, that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, say administrations, but the same Lord, verse 6. And there are diversities of operations, say operations. But it is the same God which worketh all in all. So you have administrations and operations. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man a prophet withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Verse 11, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one, say body is one. For as the body is one, it hath many members, say many members. Now all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink unto one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And if the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, what about the smelling? Verse 18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, say body, as it has pleased him. So God set the members in the body as it has pleased him, maybe not as it has pleased you. Verse 19, and if they were all one member, where were the body? But now there are many members, but one body. And that's because God knows what each body needs. So God will strategically place you at a church on purpose because of what you have inside of you. Amen. Verse 21, an ear cannot, an eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. So you have necessary parts in the body of Christ. And these, and those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together. So God has put the body parts together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked, that there should be no schism, no strife, no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. Whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. One member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ. Say body of Christ.
Body of Christ.
And members in particular, and God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles and gifts of healings, helps. Say helps.
Help.
So helps is in the Bible, is in the church. Governments, diversities of tongues. So what we have here is we have a body. So let's look at this as the body of Christ. So this is the body of Christ. So you have many members, but one body. So you have God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, and then you have the pastor, who is the head over the local body. So now what you need now, you need members. You need members strategically positioned or placed in the body so that this body can function. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it reads, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Say, living sacrifice. Not a dead sacrifice, but a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I like to call that military service or serving time. One of the things you have to understand when you're serving in a church is that you are serving time. You have to serve time in the church. Now, remember, Paul said that he was a prisoner of the Lord. Why? Because he was serving time. So you don't have to go to prison to serve time. You can serve time right here in the church. That's your reasonable service. You don't have to go to the military to serve time. You can serve time right here in the church. Let's keep going. Verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, say many members, in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Many members, one body. And everyone has a unique gifting. So as you're serving time in a church, there's something inside of you that you have to serve in your church so that you can eventually serve it to the world. Remember, God said you're supposed to have dominion in the earth, not dominion in the church. You start off in the church, but then you go send out to the world because you're supposed to have dominion in the earth. All right. So what you got to do now is get this gift that God has put inside of you. You have to get it stirred up. You can't neglect the gift. You got to stir up the gift so that we can get the gift out of you, because that's what the pastors need in order for the vision of the church to manifest, in order for this body to move. Because you remember, the pastor is the head over the local body. In order for this body to move into the future, to do what God has called this body, your church, to do, because your church has an assignment and every church is not the same. So what you got to do is find out your domain. You got to find out your domain in the earth as a church so you can move towards that in the future. So you got to have a vision. You got to have a mission statement, and you want to have your purpose. Now you want to get the people that's in the church into their area of domain. So that's the key. That's why you got to get in Helps Ministry, so that the people in the church can discover their area of domain. And inside of each volunteer, inside of each person, is this place, what I call area of domain. It's where your purpose, potential, your gift is. So if you're looking for your purpose, potential, your gift, find your area of domain. Because in your area of domain is where your purpose, potential, gift. So when you find your purpose, potential, your gift, you have found your area of domain. And your area of domain is that place that's inside of you. See, when you're serving in a church, operating in the Helps Ministry, whether it's church administration operations, you're stirring up the gift that God has put inside of you. Because God put the real you inside of you so you can find you inside of you. So what you got to do is go inside of you and find out what's in you and stir you up. Because there are people right now looking for you. They just can't find you because you're still inside of you. So what you got to do, and that's part of the purpose of Helps Ministry, is to get you out of you. So as you're serving in the church, what's happening is that you're stirring up the gift. And that's why I like to call Helps Ministry the research and development department of the church. So where you find your gift and develop it. That's why a lot of people start off in the church and then they go into the earth. Because God says you're supposed to have dominion in the earth, not in the church. Sometimes we're trying to have it in the church and you're supposed to be outside the church in the earth. So God put the real you inside of you so that you can find you inside of you. But you got to go through the process. And there's a process that you have to go through. And in order for you to go through the process, you got to know what the process is. So as we talk about this body of Christ, in order for this body to live, it needs blood. Because blood flows all through the body. Remember, this is the body of Christ. This is the body of Christ. So you get in helps ministry so that you can start to serve everywhere. So you'll find yourself serving in helps ministry going all through the body of Christ. Because remember, you find your spot in the church by going from spot to 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 spot on your way to your spot. That's how you find your spot in the church, not just one spot. You have many spots, so you'll find yourself flowing all through the body. Come on, you might be head usher because you're the only usher. Because that was needed. You got it? But you can't stay there. You got it, you know? Because as the church grow, as this body starts to grow, then more and more members start to come in with different gifts. See, God will send people to your church all kinds of ways. You get them off the street, get them saved, and all of a sudden they'll find out that what's inside of them that they was using for the devil, now they can use it for God. See, there's some things inside of the people that they're trying to hide and God want to use. And they in the church. They don't want to sing no more because they used to sing in the nightclub. No, sing in the church. Used to lead a gang, lead in the church. You're just doing it for God now. Because that very same thing you're probably trying to hide is what God want to use. So what we got to do now is we got to get you in helps ministry. Why? Because helps ministry is blood to the body. That's what helps ministry is. It's blood to the body of Christ. So you get your people in a helps ministry. That's why you got to have a helps ministry office. So that's because if not, the people try to go through you, Pastor. Well. Come on, am I talking to you? No, get an office so that the people can go through the office. And then you get an office manager that you work with. So you put the people in helps ministry because helps ministry is blood to the body of Christ. Now, this body has to stay alive because it's got to be a living sacrifice, which means it has to be alive. So that's why you need blood, because blood keeps the body alive. Why? Because in the blood carries oxygen, nutrients, protein. That's what the blood does for the body. It also helps regulate heat, fight infection. Sometimes we call it staph infection. Come on, you get that tomorrow. You get that. But the blood also helps to eliminate waste. So you got to keep you got to have good blood circulation in the body of Christ. So I like to separate it. One part is called administration, and then the other part of the body of Christ is operations. So you have your administrations and then you have the operations. Now, the administration part of the body of Christ is your management. That's your management team. The operations of the body of Christ is what I call the movement team. They like to keep things going. They like to move it for you. See, this group likes to manage it. This group will move it. And both parts of the body are needed in order for this body to go into the future. This body has to be managed before it starts to move. So your management team is good for paperwork. You want to make sure you have all your paperwork in place before you start moving. The management team is where all your managers are. So this is what I like to call your headquarters. Church administrations. It's the headquarters. This is where all the decisions are made. This is where you get organized. This is when you get your resources in order. You do all this before you get out on the battlefield. Your operations team are designed to get you on the battlefield. But you want to make sure you organize, you have the resources. You know, you have the plan, you have the strategy. Sometimes I like to call that red tape. See, this group right here on the battlefield, they cut through red tape. Your management team, create red tape. See, there's a group of people that God will bring to your church that are your thinkers. They like to plan. They like to prepare. They like strategy. They like to have what I call meetings. So when God brings that group of people into the body of Christ, into your church, put them over here. Don't put them right here, because they want to have a meeting on the battlefield. Separate them, because both parts are needed. You remember? Right. Members of the body of Christ, both parts are needed, but you got to know which is which. Right. So this is your group right here. They have meetings, they plan it, they get you organized, they get your resources, they make sure you got your weapons. So when you get out on the battlefield, now you don't have to worry about that. Everything is prepared for you because this team then thought it out. However, on the battlefield, things change. So you got to have a group of people on the battlefield that can think and fight. I like to call those your Joshuas. So your Joshuas, they like to fight. So you got to keep your Joshuas on the battlefield because they fight wherever they go. And if you got them in meetings, you see how you got to separate church administration, church operations. Because if you have them in meetings, they fighting you in the meeting. And you might call them rebellious. No, they just want to fight. You want to meet. They're not rebellious. They really want to fight for you on the battlefield. And you got them in a meeting.
That's good.
So you got to separate them. Put your fighters right here. These are the ones who will fight for you. They fight all the time. They fight wherever they go.
That's good.
All you got to do is make sure they have what they need so that when they're out there on the battlefield, they can fight for you. Make sure they got all the weapons. Make sure they have the plan. So when we talk about church administration and church operations, I believe that in order for the body of Christ to go into the future, it has to be managed so that it can move. Now what happens is that when you get in helps ministry, now we have to identify you because it's the research and development department of the church. So you get in helps ministry, now we assess you. We find out we might put you as an usher because we need some ushers, but you're really the accountant. We just might not have enough money to hire an accountant. So you just serve right now, but your time is coming. It's coming. Right now, just let them serve, kind of find out where their heart is.
Yeah.
And so you put them in health ministry so that they can serve. Because now you're just plugging them into the body. So they might find themselves flowing all through the body. But eventually, they'll find themselves as the big thumb. See, we talked about it. Every part is important. And sometimes there are certain parts in the body that may seem to be less important. But they are important. For example, the big toe. Now, the big toe is really important for the body. It's really important for the body. Lose a big toe. Then you'll find out how important big toe is. But remember, big toe is covered up by sock and shoe. So you really can't see big toe. So therefore, you might have some big toes in your ministry that's serving and helps the ministry that might feel unnoticed, unappreciated, and unrecognized, unless they make a mistake. Come on, I'm talking to somebody now. You make a mistake, then all of a sudden you get recognition. But that's just part of the process. Now, health ministry is blood to the body of Christ. So you put your people into health ministry so that now they can start flowing all through the body of Christ. And in order for this body to stay alive, remember, it needs blood. Because blood carries oxygen, nutrients, proteins. It helps fight infection, regulates heat, and waste. It helps you to eliminate waste. So therefore, we can say that life is in the blood. So in order for the body to stay alive, you have to have good blood circulation. Because the blood is flowing all through the body. And if you're not careful, what happens sometimes in the body of Christ, strife gets in. And strife is designed to contaminate the blood. So when you have contaminated blood going all through the body, now the body cannot function the way it's supposed to function because the blood is contaminated. Because strife is is a demonic spirit that brings darkness, that creates a culture of evil that would attract and corrupt communications in the body of Christ.
Yes.
It's a demonic spirit that brings darkness that would create, start to create a culture of evil that will start to corrupt communications in the body of Christ. Because strife, when it comes in to contaminate the blood, it affects the spiritual immune system of the body. And the spiritual immune system now comes down because the blood has been contaminated. Now strife comes into the body of Christ. And now you got strife in your church. You got strife among the leaders. Why? Because strife has come in and it's designed to stop the body from moving into the future. And you notice that when you get strife into your body, when you get strife into the church, now all of a sudden you can't move. You got to deal with it. It starts to cause you to waste time. Now you got to go to meetings. Now you got to deal with it because strife is in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Strife is in your church. And a person that's in strife, remember, it's hard for them to leave. Mm-hmm. A person that's in your church that's in strife, it's hard for them to leave your church. You know why? Because your church is their fishing hole. They go fishing in your church. That's why they don't leave. They got to go fishing until they get enough fish and then they leave. That's why people, you get a church split and it's a group of offended people. Because what happens with strife is strife, when you get strife now in the body of Christ, you'll get that one person now to go fishing in the ministry. In order to catch fish, you got to have a certain kind of bait. So they use a fence as the bait. So they wiggle out the bait of a fence into different areas within the body of Christ. And they say, anybody been offended like me? Anybody been offended like me? Anybody been offended like me? No, nobody in the music ministry. Okay, well, let me try the ushers. Anybody been offended like me? Anybody been offended like me? Because that person that's in strife has become offended. So now they give out offense. They become offensive because they have become offended. So that's what they give out. So they wiggle out that bait of offense until they can catch somebody. Anybody been offended like me? Anybody been offended like me? And then, oh, you been offended? Oh, gotcha. Come on in. And then they'll put you in their boat. Because they always got a boat on the side, a hidden agenda. So when it's time for them to leave, they take a group of people with them. You got to deal with strife immediately and quickly because it starts off as a little trickle. A little hole on the water, there's a little water trickling down. And if you don't deal with that little water trickling down, the crack gets bigger and bigger and bigger to the point it's so much water comes through that foundation now, it's hard to deal with it because you didn't deal with it in the beginning. Let's let no strife come between us. Because strife can stop the body of Christ from moving in the body. I mean, strife can stop the body of Christ from moving into the future. So what happens is that when strife comes in, it contaminates the blood. So now the body starts to develop blood diseases. High blood pressure, sickle cell, kidney strokes, blood clots. Why? Because the blood has been contaminated. There's no church administration, no church operations. Everybody right now dealing with strife. All your meetings, all you can't sleep at night because strife is in the body of Christ. People can't get along. People can't work together. It's because of strife. So what happens is that if you don't deal with it, the strife, that contaminated blood, will start to develop blood clots in the body of Christ. So now you got a blood clot right here by the leg. Now what happens, you as a pastor got to make decisions. In order for the body to live, you're going to have to amputate that leg. No matter how long they've been with you.
Well.
Don't worry about it. God always got another leg in the bush. Don't worry about it. In order for the body, because if you don't, that contaminated blood will start to go up toward you. Because remember, the pastor is the head over the local body. And if you don't deal with that contaminated blood, it'll start to go up to you. And then it will cause an aneurysm in your head, which means now you can't see no more. You can't leave. You can't take this body into the future. You're supposed to be the visionary. You're supposed to be the eyes to the body. You can't see anymore because you didn't have the aneurysm. Now people are saying, what's wrong with Pastor? What's wrong with, well, what happened, strife then got into the body. So what happened, what you really need to do, you got to catch it right here so they won't vote you out. You right here, they try to vote you, cut the head off, vote you out. So you got to deal with it quickly. And here's how you do it. It's either you go or they go. So here's how they go. It's called blood transfusion. Got to get you some new blood. Get you some new blood. You're going to have to cut off, amputate this. You might have to amputate that. You might have to replace the liver. You're going to have to do something in order for you to do what God has called you to do.
That's right.
Church administration and church operations. Now, let's go to the PowerPoint. So let's talk about HELPS ministry. And in HELPS ministry is set in the church. HELPS ministry is a customer service department of the church. HELPS ministry is a support service in the church. HELPS ministry is valid and needed in the church. HELPS ministry is in the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. HELPS ministry is the project management department of the church. All your projects, all your events go through HELPS ministry. It's called volunteers. HELPS ministry is people working projects. You'll find out all your people in the church should be working projects through HELPS ministry. HELPS ministry is 20% of the people doing 80% of the work. HELPS ministry is the heart of the church. It's a group of committed and faithful believers who carry out the work of the ministry. Now, the reason why I say committed and faithful is because you'll have two groups of people in your church. You have your committed people and your faithful people. Yeah. Come on. You got to find out who are who. Your committed people, they take you to the storm. Your faithful people take you through the storm. See, your committed people, they're good. Their work, it helps as long as things are convenient. Your faithful people will serve when it's inconvenient. Your committed people sign up. Faithful people show up. Commitment is what you become. Faithfulness is what you're found. You have to be found faithful. So your committed people, they'll only show up if you're there, pastors. That's why you got to go to the meetings so people show up. And then when you leave, they leave. So you have to stay there all day just so the people will stay. Your faithful people will stay all the way to the end because they'll take you through the storm. Your committed people. Well, there's another group of people in your church. I like to call them your candles. And then you have another group in your church called the stars. So you have your candles and then you have your stars. Because we're talking about church administration operations. So you're gonna, as you put them in the HELPS ministry office, you'll start to identify them. You'll start to see who's committed, who's faithful. Who are your candles? Who are your stars? Who has a gift for this? Who has a talent for this? Who has a skill for this? Who can help you out because of their street experience? Who can help you out because of their work experience? Who can help you because of the degree that they have? Who can help you because of the experience they have? See, your gift is a specialized power on a talent or skill that will give you the capacity and capability to function beyond what is considered to be normal or natural. That's what a gift is. It's a specialized power on a talent or skill that will give you the capacity on the inside, capability on the outside, to function beyond what is considered to be normal or natural. So you got to get your people in their gift. Administration, operations. See, if you don't separate them, you get your fighters fighting you in the meeting. Because their gift is to be on the battlefield. If you don't put them in the right place, you'll get your people to have the gift of administration wanting to have a meeting on the battlefield when it's time to fight. So separate them. Find out what their gift is so that you can use them appropriately based on the vision of the church and the timing. Now, your candles and your stars. Can I finish that?
Yes.
Your candles are the ones that give you a certain kind of light. And then your stars give you a certain kind of light. Now, they both give light. It's just a different kind of light. So you got to know what kind of light they give you at certain times. Your candles give you what I call candlelight. Your stars give you starlight. See, your candles burn in the day and the night, and stars only shine at night.
Come on there. Come on.
Even though they're up there in the daytime, you just can't see them because they only shine at night. So you have to make sure that they understand that they both are important to the body of Christ. You just candlelight. And these are the stars. So the candles are the ones who I like to call those your faithful people. Those are the ones a lot of times have been with you from the beginning. They may not have the qualifications or the degree, but they got your heart. Oh, boy, they'll do it just because you ask. Those are your candles. But then as the vision starts to manifest, as this body starts to grow, then you got to have many members, not just one or two, many members. So God will start to supernaturally bring people to your church so that this body can move quickly into the future. So that's when God will start to drop stars into your church. So I like to call it parachute. They come out of nowhere. They come out the sky. Boom. They just land. Boom. Yeah, Pastor, I got it. I can do it. Now, strife can come in if your two people don't know who is who. Because your faithful people will say, well, hold it. Wait a minute, Pastor. I've been with you from the beginning. And it's but you remember, they can only go so far. But then your stars can come in and they can take you to the next level. They can take you to Z. Because the stars, the candles took you, they started with you at A. They can only go to O. But you're trying to get to Z. So God will bring you your stars. Because your stars, they shine at night. I like to call your stars your Aarons and your Hurs. Those are your stars. Those are the ones who will go with you to the top of the hill called headquarters and hold up your arms. While you as a pastor, you got your arms up because you got your Joshuas on the battlefield fighting. Your Joshuas down there fighting with the swords. But you got your Aaron and your Hurs holding up your arms, getting their picture taken in the newspaper with you. But your Joshuas are doing all the work. But Aaron and her in the newspaper with Pastor. But it's no problem if they know that they both give light. If your Aaron's in a hurry, they give light. But then your fighters, your Joshuas, they give light. So it's no problem when they know who is who and that they both are important to the body of Christ. There's no parts that's more important. No big or little people in the church. And I'm sure Joshua, when he was on the battlefield fighting, sweating, bloody, bandaged up, and he down there fighting, probably felt unnoticed, unappreciated, unrecognized. And I'm sure there was times he looked on the hill and he saw Aaron and her getting their picture taken in the newspaper with Pastor. And I'm sure, I believe Joshua, there's times he probably said, boy, I'll take this sword and throw it on up there. But he did. But he didn't, because you can't have no strife. You got that called strife right there. That called strife.
That's good.
But he kept fighting because he knew his place. Church operations, battlefield. But here's what I love. When it was time for God to choose Moses' successor, God chose Joshua.
Yes, he did.
So the lesson is, to the Aarons and hers, don't blow out your candles. When your stars come to the church, make sure they don't blow out the candles, the faithful people.
Amen.
That's on the battlefield. Because sometimes stars can come into the church and think they can do it themselves because they got corporate training. Now, you need it, but stars, keep your candles lit. Because there's going to come a time when there's going to be a storm over the house. And all electricity is going to go out. And nobody can see. What do you do at that point? Better go get that candle, light that candle. Because those candles can take you through the storm. Stars are good at taking you to it. They know how to take you right there to the storm.
That's good.
So HELPS Ministries, the Research and Development Department, that's how we identify the stars, the candles, the committed, the faithful, church administration, church operations. So HELPS Ministry is the boot camp to your church. This is, you get people in the HELPS Ministry so that they can learn how to fight, learn how to use their weapons. Give them some courage. Give them some victories. Give them the tools that they need. Take them through the foundation class. Take them through the membership class. They might have to learn how to pray. If you're going to be intercessor prayer, you might want to take some prayer classes. That's boot camp. So HELPS Ministry is boot camp in the church. Because why? You serve in time. And when you go to the service, the first thing they do is put you in boot camp. You want to be a police officer. First thing they do, they put you right in the boot camp because there's things that you have to learn. So HELPS Ministry is boot camp to the church. HELPS Ministry is people making a contribution with their lives by serving. Don't ever forget that. There's people in the church putting their life on hold for the vision that God has given you, pastors. That you're using your faith. But don't forget about the people.
Amen.
You're using your faith. But there's people that's hooked into the vision that want to serve. So what you do is that you put the vision out there. And the people in the church, what you're trying to do is get the people to see themselves in the vision of the church. So when you write their vision and you put it out, now people can start to look at the vision and eventually they'll start to see themselves in the vision. That's how they stay with you. That's one of the reasons why I was able to stay with Pastor for so many years. Number one, I like to have fun. Enjoy your salvation. Don't become so religious and become a mean Christian. Come on, you have some fun. Enjoy God. And the second part is that I see myself in a vision. I found my part to play in the vision. I found my body part. I found my body part. I had usher. I was the only usher. That was what was needed. Then they said, well, can you help with water baptism? Okay. Can you do that? Can you straighten up the chairs? Can you help me with that? Can you cut the grass? Can you wash the windows? Can you go see this for me? Yeah. Because you go from spot to spot to spot to spot to spot on your way to your spot. Because HELPS Ministry, see, takes away all the titles. Sometimes people don't want to do it because they got the title. And what you really are is a volunteer with a title. So you got to understand the people who are in, that's part of your ministry, they might have the title, but they're a volunteer with a title. And sometimes deacons don't want to move the chairs because they deacon. No, move the chair. Straighten up all the chairs. Let's find out where your heart is. Yeah. Come on. Just whatever's needed for this body. Then jump in there. HELPS Ministry provides is the feeding the body to Christ. HELPS Ministry is what I call the Research and Development Department of the church. is where you find your gift, develop it. So you find your gift as you serve and helps. You serve your gift as you develop, and you develop your gift as you practice. So as you start to work your hands in helps ministry, your gift now will be stirred up. You know, you'll start to be seen. You'll be revealed and talked about as you're serving in that spot. Notice, recognize the needed. You'll kind of just create a position for you. So what happens as you're serving in helps and God is stirring up the gift that's inside of you. Remember, your gift is that place inside of you. I like to call it your area of domain. Your domain is where your purpose, potential, your gift is. So that's that place inside of you that you got to sow seeds in you. You got water, the light. You gotta sow seeds into you. And what happens if you don't take out time to do that, you'll go to this place of what I call burnout. Yes. And burnout is when you're spiritually, physically, and mentally exhausted. Burnout is when you have burnt out. You know I'm deep. Yes. Burnout. Burnout is mean you burnt out. You have no fire. You remember you first got saved? You was on fire. But after years of serving and helps ministry, if you don't see yourself in the vision, and if you're not working on your area of domain, especially with your leaders in your church, I know they're doing it unto God and they're serving you as a pastor, but don't forget about their lives. That's how people stay in the church, stay connected, because they see something in it for them. Your gift now is being stirred up inside of you as you're serving in the church, but there's something in it for you. Your gift is being stirred up. You're part of church administration. You're part of church operations. You're a candor. You're a star. Something is happening to you on the inside. That's your area of domain. And so an example of a domain, a bird's area of domain is the air. The fish area of domain is the water. The lion's area of domain is the jungle. That's why you call the lion king of the jungle. Not the king of the zoo. The lion is the king of the jungle, not the king of the zoo. See, in the zoo, they shoot the lion up with all that medication. So that's why the lion is laying there looking at you like that. And that's why everybody get excited when the lion move. He trying to move. He just all shot up with stuff. The lion is walking. He walking, but and everybody run to the, let's see the lion. Well, a lion is the king of the jungle. That's his domain, not the zoo. So what you have to do is you're serving in the health ministry. You have to find your area of domain. You got to get through. You got to get to a certain point that God is speaking to you about your gift, about what he wants you to do in the earth. So you stir your gift up in the church as you're serving in the health ministry. You're practicing your gift. You're developing the gift because health ministry is your research and development department in the church. So you're serving your gift. So your domain is where your purpose, potential, your gift is. So it's that thing you would do for nothing. It's that thing that people always ask you for, your domain. It's that thing that when you do it, makes you cry, it makes you laugh. You have so much passion. You love to do it so much. You think about it while you're working for money. You can't wait to be you on the weekend because the real you is coming out of you. That's what your domain is. It's that thing that people say, boy, when you do it, you must have been born to do it. You must have been built to do it because you make it look so easy. You're natural. You can do it with your eyes closed. That's your domain. That's where your purpose, potential, your gift is. That's how the people stay. That's how the people keep serving in the church. That's how they stay with you because you're working, stirring up their gift. They don't mind serving when they see something is in it for them. So that's part of their domain, but they got to go through the process. Domain, dominate. Dominate is when you start to practice and serve in your gift. That's the dominate stage. Go from domain to dominate to domination. Domination is when you start to have mastery over your gift. Domain, dominate, domination, dominator is when you start to be your gift. Domain, dominate, domination, dominator, domineering is when you become your gift. You and your gift now have become one. So go from domain to dominate, domination, dominator to domineering. The last place is dominion, because God says you're supposed to have dominion in the earth. So you get to your dominion stage. Now you have dominion. When you start to have dominion in your gift, in your area of domain, now God can create a marketplace for your gift in the earth, in your church. You got to find out your domain. Find out that's one thing you're good at. So you can have light in your area of domain. Because God's not a respecter of person, but I believe he's a respecter of light. And when you start to get wisdom and revelation in one thing, God will raise you up and give you light, raise you up above other, because that's your domain. He's not a respecter of person, but I believe he's a respecter of light. And you'd be like a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. And then people will see your good works, then they'll glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Why? Because you got light now in your area of domain. So you go back to your domain when you get to that dominion stage. That's when you have supreme authority over your gift. That's when God is creating a marketplace for your gift, for your church in the earth. So now you go back to your domain. Now you have dominion in your area of domain. That's when you can walk on the water. So you started off fishing in it. Ha! Come on, you started off in the water, fishing in it, but you end up walking on it. Because you got dominion in your area of domain. Okay? So that's part of the process of Helps Ministry. Helps Ministry is also the customer service department of the church. It's service-driven, it's 24-hour support, solves problems, provides solutions. The objective is to make the members feel at home and make the visitors feel welcome. So if Helps Ministry is not operating at a certain level, your members, the members in the body of Christ, they'll start to feel like this is not their home anymore. They don't feel at home. It's supposed to be a church home. But if they come to church and the greeter is mad, so the greeter is offensive to everybody come through the door because he or she is mad. Well, now the members don't feel at home because that greeter keep offending people. You're going to have to amputate. Sooner or later, you're going to have to amputate that greeter. You wonder why people ain't coming back. It's the greeter. Because sometimes people go to certain places because of service. You know, there's certain places that I like to go to. You know why? Because they know me. They might not even have the best food, but they give me the service. When I walk in, they say, "Hey, Mr. Harris, good to see you." Now, that makes me feel real good when I'm with my wife or with my mama. Yeah, how you doing, Jack? How you doing? Come. Oh, we're going to sit you right over here. Yeah, okay. See, I told you. See, right, the service. See? That's what people want when they come to church because they've been hurt. You know, they looking for something, looking for some love, some joy, some peace. And when they come to church and that mean greeter's at the door, that's why sometimes people say there's no difference between the church and the world. There's got to be a difference. Start off with the customer service. Make it so that when people come to your church, they faint. Like the Queen of Sheba, when she came to see Solomon, she fainted. What made her faint? It was because of customer service. Read it through the eyes of Helps Ministry. Because she heard about Solomon. She said she heard about his house and his wisdom. That's why she came. She said, but only half of the story was told. You got it? What was the second half? It was the people and the organization. She saw the people. She realized that it was the people that was protecting his anointing. It was the people that was making him look good. It was his Helps Ministry. She talked about the armor bearers, the servants, the hospitality men. She talked about the people. Then she fainted. She didn't faint after she got the word. She fainted after she got the service. She said, your people are happy. See, when you're operating in your domain and your gift is making room for you, you got on apparel. Notice she didn't say his people had on clothes. She said they had on apparel. Come on, let's dress the body of Christ with apparel. She said, your people are happy. Then she fainted. I'm glad the altar workers was there and didn't bump her head. You got to have your Helps Ministry in place because she fainted. I know she probably went up there, got her hands laid on her. Thank God the ushers, they wasn't mad fighting the strife, that they let her down and sat her down, put the cloth on her. You got it? Prayed over her, let her wake up. Because the Bible says she got up, she gave, what, about $30 million? Something like that. Come on. Something like that. Let me go to and give you the right number. But she gave a lot of money. She gave a lot of money. And you know what? She was a first-time visitor. She wasn't even hooked in yet. She was a visitor. Thank God you amputated that greeter at the door. Because that greeter would have blew it for you. Come on, say health ministry. That's important. Now you get you let's now in order to get your people operating properly, you want to have a health ministry office set up in your church. So what we did, we gave you a package. So just go through it. In this package is the purpose of our health ministry. In it, it talks about our training program, which is we have classes, workshops, and seminars. Gift assessments. We've got to get people in their area domain. We try to get the potential that's in the people out of them. Library, resources, books. We have a health ministry handbook, manuals, training materials. We want to create a sense of purpose, within the church, within the volunteers, so that they won't feel like they're obligated to serve, that they want to serve, because this is part of their purpose in life. So we create an environment. And in order to have that environment, you want to have an area within your church where all your volunteers and your leaders can go to. Because sometimes they have full-time jobs. They come off of their job and they come to the church. They don't have nowhere to go. Give them an office. Give them a phone. Give them a mailbox. Yeah. Let them use a computer. They can do things at home, but create an environment. Yeah. It's called Health Ministry Office. And next door, you get a chance, just walk on in. And we kind of redesigned it now. My office in the back, and just kind of see the cubicles, and you can see the leaders that's on the wall. We got the pictures on the wall. Yeah. So they won't feel unnoticed, unappreciated, unrecognized unless they make a mistake. They picture on the wall. Not the whole congregation, but the leadership. So if you want to know who are the leaders in the church, go in the health minister's office, just take a look. So what we do in the office is that we have a health ministry handbook. So in this handbook are the requirements and the guidelines that we set in our church. So go through it. It also provided a spiritual gift assessment for you. You want to make sure all your volunteers go through and take a spiritual gift assessment. They don't want to. A lot of times you don't really want to because you think you know. And you think if you take this assessment, it's going to tell you something different than what you already know. But you probably need to know. So make sure all the volunteers take a spiritual gift assessment. In the package, we have different applications, health ministry application, youth applications. Now, if you need it we can email it to you. So you won't have to type it all out. Call the health ministry office, and what we can do, we get this whole package, we can download it and give it to you, and all, here's what you do. Just take Living Word off. You see this right here? And put your church name on it. That's all you got to do. But then don't forget now, there might be some other Living Word stuff inside. So look through. So go through it. Take all the Living Word stuff. You know, so it might say Pastor Winston. So just go through and take all and tweak it so it can be yours. Call us. You call us and we can send it to you. We can email it to you. Call the HMO office. And I think the number is on here. It's on the back.
Yes, sir.
708-697-5365.
Get some more volunteers to answer that phone.
Okay. Health ministry is boot camp for the church. It's a place in your church, the HMO office, where you get your volunteers in so you can get them prepared for battle so that you can teach them how to use their hands, how to use their weapons, because we got to get them trained for battle. The HMO office is a place where now your volunteers can start to develop personal courage. We can teach them certain values such as loyalty and respect and duty, integrity, and honor. Duty is what you do. Honor is what you show, and courage is what you have. Duty is what you do. Honor is what you show, And courage is what you have. You want to make sure that the volunteers are doing whatever it takes to get the job done so that they can serve at all costs. That's part of their duty. The honor is what you show is the respect that you want your volunteers and your leaders to have for the leadership, whether it's the pastor or the person that you put in leadership position to show honor. And the courage is what you have. That's the bravery, the boldness, fearlessness. Also, they'll be known by three things: reputation, gift, and service. Reputation, gift, and service. Reputation is your name, character, and abilities. Your gift is your specialized power. That's part of your area domain. And your service is your spot. It's your spot in the body of Christ. Your reputation is your name. It's your good name. Reputation is part of your character, integrity, commitment, and faithfulness. Your abilities, those are the things that I call respectability, dependability, reliability, credibility. Those are your abilities. You don't want to be a liability. Respectability, accountability, dependability, reliability, credibility. You don't want to become a liability. Your gift is your specialized power, which is your area domain, and your service is your spot. And your spot in the body of Christ, whether it's in church administration or church operation, that's the thing that makes you great. It's not your title. It's your spot. People should know you by your spot, even though the pastor forgot to say Minister Larry. He just said Larry. He forgot to say Elder Jones. He just said Bobby Jones. Everybody knew who pastor was talking about because of the spot and not the title. Now, what I want to do is I want to give you a couple things about church administration, church operations, and I'll be done. Let's go to Acts chapter 6. Church administration.
I appreciate it.
Oh, I think it said this.
Okay. You go back.
I'm trying to get this one right here. Oh, I think escape. I can't get this. Can't get it to move. Did you just move? Okay. No, just right here. Just they told me this right here. Okay. You hit that tomorrow. There you go.
Okay.
All right, church administration operations. Real quick, let me just give you a couple things. We saw that. First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 and 6, it says that there are differences of administrations and there are diversities of operations. So church administration, church operation is the management and movement of the body of Christ, working together to meet your spiritual needs of the people and the operational demands of the ministry. So when trying to decide which one is which, administration meets the spiritual needs of the people, and then you have the operational demands of the ministry. So the difference between the two is that administration is the management of the body. Operation is the movement of the body. So church administration and operations is our person, people who are collectively entrusted to enforce and execute the daily affairs of the organization. There's a group of people who you've put in charge to enforce and execute the daily affairs of the organization. So the purpose of church administration is for the body to be managed. It's the management of the body. The purpose of operation is the movement of the body. The function of church administration, what does it do? What does church administration do for the body? Is that church administration is good at planning, staffing, and organizing the work of the ministry. So your planning, your staffing, and your organizing is part of church administration. The function of church operation is to just to do the work of the ministry. Those are your fighters. Those are the ones who are on the battlefield who just want to do the work. They don't want to do the planning. They don't want to do the staffing. They don't want to do the organization. They just want to fight. The goal of church administration is to create, develop, and maintain those administrative processes. So a lot of your processes, your planning, comes out of your church administration. The goal of church operation is just to follow the processes. They just want to do the work. They want to follow the processes while they meet the operational demands of the ministry. So they'll follow the processes. At the same time, they'll meet the operational demands of the ministry. So the role of church administration is to execute the ministry plans and processes with excellence. So that's your team now. They're concerned about the excellence of the organization. And excellence is the attention to detail that gives rise to superior performance that will lead to promotion in life. So when you're operating in excellence, you know, it's the attention to detail that will take you to that area of superior performance that will lead to promotion in life, because a person has an excellent spirit about them. So the role of church operation is to execute the ministry work with excellence. Remember, this group just want to fight. They just want to do the work. So administration is the management. It's the act of giving directions. It's the conducting of any office. It's the government of public affairs. It's the executive part of government. So some administrative examples within the church, we talk about the management of the body, executive staff, your member care, human resources, prayer department, secretaries, county team, security data, marketing, school of ministry. Those are some examples of church administration. Now, church operations is basically just action. It's doing the work of the ministry. It's to be in action. It's the process of actions, a series of acts. It's what we call movement. Church operation examples within the body of Christ are facility maintenance, housekeeping, property management, information systems, church events, audio, television, your outreaches, your intercessory prayer, mail center, product fulfillment, health ministry office, school of business. Those are some examples of operations. So church administration and church operation is the management and movement of the body of Christ. They got to work together to meet the spiritual needs of the people and meet the operational demands of the ministries. Remember, you got the spiritual needs, operational demands. So let's take a look at it. We'll be done. In Acts chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "And in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmur of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily administration." Verse 2, "Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve table operations. Wherefore, brother, look ye among yourselves, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, that we may appoint over this business. And we will give ourselves continually to prayer to meet the spiritual needs of the people and to the ministry of the word. And the same pleased the whole multitude. They chose seven people." Verse 6, "whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them." Verse 7, "and the result of separating was the word of God increased." Because now you got the pastor being able to stay in the presence of God and being able to hear from God and read the word. So what happened? The word of God increased. "And the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." So why? Because there was a separation at that point between church administration and church operations. Now, in the beginning, your ministry, you might be doing everything. So you get a church administrator, which is what I was, and I did everything. But then sooner or later, as the body started to grow, as people started to come into church, we had to start to separate. So, okay, now you do that. I ain't cleaning no more. Come on, that's it. You know, I used to clean the toilets, and I wasn't happy about it. I was on my knees stirring up the toilet bowl. I had on a shirt that says Saul, S-O-A-L, Lysol, Pine Saul. I had no praise music, man. I was stirring the toilet bowl. And I'm thinking, man, where all these people sign up, they ain't show up. But I didn't know. On the outside, I was stirring up the toilet bowl. But on the inside, I was stirring up the gifts. I'm glad I kept stirring. So sooner or later, you're going to have to separate church administration, church operations. So how do you do it? You get them in health ministry. You get up a health ministry office set up, and then you start making decisions based on the processes, the classes, the gift assessments. People are starting to shine. You'll start to see your committed people, your faithful people. You'll start to see your candles and your stars. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this boot camp on church administration, church operations, and health ministry. I thank you that spiritual impartation, wisdom, and understanding was imparted to your people now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Life as I've over the years I've served here and served Pastor Winston. What happened to me? I discovered my purpose in life, and that's what I do. Pastor Winston sends me out to the different churches because he said he can't go everywhere, and so I teach the natural side. He teaches the spiritual piece, but then the pastors need to know. Okay, now. Now, what do we need to do? How do we do the work in the ministry? So that's part of what I've done. I've gone to some of the churches, the pastors that Pastor Horace Williams and other pastors that you see me serve. I've gone to their churches to help. It would be my honor. I've been in New York. It would be my honor to help in any way I can. Any way I can. Thank you. Thank you. A couple more questions. Did you have one, Pastor? Oh, okay.
I have one, sir.
Yes, sir.
Have you thought about writing a book on this?
I do have a book.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I have a book in the bookstore. I wouldn't have said anything unless you asked me.
Okay.
I wrote a book on Helps Ministry. It's in the bookstore.
Okay.
Yeah. On Helps Ministry.